presence of God. We have confessed our sin. We have been assured of that forgiveness. And so we desire to be built up in the faith. And so God speaks again by means of His Word. This morning, again, we turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3, as we move through the book. Colossians 3, I'll be reading this morning, verses 17 through chapter 4, verse 1. But our focus this morning will be specifically on verse 18. Let's again please stand out of reverence for the Word of God as it's read in our presence. Colossians 3 and 17. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father, you have spoken. We thank you for your word, that you have not remained silent. Father, we confess that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Father, we ask this morning again that you would not only bless the reading of your word, but the preaching of it. Father, we ask that you would be with us this morning, your Spirit at work in our hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, last week we specifically looked at the words of verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I noted last week that those words are the apostles' climactic application in the book of Colossians. You know, Paul's letter to the Colossians, again, is all about Jesus Christ. Both that Jesus is the exalted one and that we as believers have been exalted with Him. We have been exalted in Christ. We've been brought into the kingdom of God. We've been reconciled to God. We have been made spiritually alive with Christ. We've been raised by Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. And consequently, Paul tells us in chapter 3, that therefore we are to put off fornication, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, and put on compassion, kindness, humility, long-suffering, and love, which is consistent with the new man in Christ in which we are being renewed. We are to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, to which we were called as one body. We are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And above all, we are to do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And now, in effect, what Paul does in verses 18 and following is that the Spirit goes on to apply those words of application specifically to household relationships. Wives, whatever you do as a wife, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. Specifically, do all in the name of Jesus means submitting to your husbands. Husbands, whatever you do as husbands, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. And specifically, that means loving your wife and not being bitter, not being harsh with her. And so on with instructions to children, to fathers, parents, to bondservants, in our day maybe employees, to masters, in our day maybe employers. And Lord willing, I'll preach over the next few weeks a series of sermons on these verses. But the Holy Spirit starts with wives. And so will we. Ladies, wives, young women who aspire to be wives, who hope to be wives, who will likely be wives. Here's what the Spirit says in Colossians 3:18. Our theme for the sermon is being raised with Christ means submitting to your husband. Being raised with Christ means submitting to your husband. And what I'm hoping to do this morning, in effect, is to provide, if you will, a theology of submission. and then thinking about what that means specifically for wives in particular. First of all, a definition of submission. Submission can be thought of as this. It is a voluntary yielding yourself to another in love. It is a voluntary yielding yourself to another in love. Okay, by way of illustration, I'll start with this. A little driver's ed quiz for all of you young, budding drivers out there. All right, when you are driving and you come to a yield sign, what are you supposed to do? What are you supposed to do when you come to a yield sign? You are supposed to slow down. You are supposed to look around for other cars, and if there are other cars, you let them go ahead of you. You give them the right of way. You yield to them. You know, when you come to a yield sign, you do not speed up and say, I'm going to get there first. I can remember once taking a defensive driving course. And the instructor of the course was talking about what a poor driver that his father was. He goes, my dad does this. My dad comes to an intersection with a stop sign, an intersection with a yield sign, and there's all these cars going past, and he can't get in, can't make his turn. My dad says, I'm counting to 10, and then it's my turn. You know, I'm just going to pull out there when I get to 10. That's not yielding. Yielding is giving the others the right of way. And submission can be thought of as yielding to another. Submission is giving someone else the right of way. It is letting them go first. You know, naturally, what we might want to do is barge out there. We want to assert our desires, want to demand our rights. But submission does not do those things. Submission does not ram your way in. Submission does not say, I'm counting to 10 and then it's my turn. Submission gives the right of way to others. Submission is yielding my plans, my desires to someone else. And it does so voluntarily out of love. And Scripture says, God says, wives are to submit to their husbands. That a wife's relationship to her husband is to be characterized by the disposition to yield to her husband. Not barging in, not insistence on her will, on her way, but rather affirming, honoring, following his leadership, accepting his guidance, yielding to his decisions, and supporting them. Submission is a voluntary yielding to one another in love. There's the first point. Second point, submission, this voluntary yielding to one another in love, is a thoroughly Christian concept. It is a thoroughly Christian concept. You know, I stand here, I preach on this, I recognize that without question this whole idea of submission is a controversial topic. You know, specifically the idea of wives submitting to their husbands. It's controversial within the world. You know, about a decade ago, the Southern Baptist Convention, you know, as they produce statements on different things, they made a statement saying that a wife is to submit graciously to the servant leadership of her husband, even as the church willingly submits to the headship of Christ. You know, the media went ballistic. You know, if the OPC made that statement, nobody would notice, because the OPC is small. Southern Baptist Convention is 15 million people. When they speak, people still pay attention. You know, they make that statement, the media goes ballistic. You've got to be kidding. One commentator said the media reacted as if the Baptists were promoting heresy. And from a secular perspective, they were. You know, at the time, the executive director of the National Organization for the Women Legal Defense and Education Fund said, we don't think any human being should submit to any other human being. You know, I'll let you just run the logical consequences of that statement out in your mind for a minute. But that was the response. Because from a world's perspective, submission, and particularly the call for wives to submit to their husbands, obviously implies the inferiority of women. It opens the door to all sorts of abuse. Sets the woman's movement back to the dark ages. You know, I can remember a number of years ago when we lived in San Diego, attending the wedding reception for a couple in the church where I pastored there in San Diego. And this was the second marriage for the man. He was an older man. He'd had come to Christ later in his life. You know, there had been a divorce in his past with second marriage, but he's married now to a Christian woman. But he had grown children, grown daughters who were not believers. And Trish and I, at the reception, were seated with his grown daughters. You know, and in the midst of, you know, the conversation that goes on during the evening, you know, among these grown daughters, just a little mocking of his new wife's promise to submit. Submit to your husband. Submit. You know, pass the butter, please. Husband says, yeah. Oh, submit to your husband. Just, you know, a little joke. How silly. How unenlightened. The idea of submission is controversial in the world. And it's becoming increasingly controversial within the church. You know, maybe you're aware, maybe you're not aware, but for a number of years there's been a debate within the evangelical church about the role of women within the church. And that debate is framed by the terms, and you might hear these at times, egalitarians versus complementarians. You know, the egalitarians would be those within the church, you know, holding to the position that men and women, they are completely equal in every sense, and that Scripture teaches a complete equality in terms of their function and in terms of the roles that are open to them. That is, there is no hierarchy of men and women. There are no leadership roles that are reserved exclusively for men. You know, that's the egalitarian position. On the other hand, within the church, you have the complementarians. That yes, men and women are created equal in essence. I'll flesh that out in a little bit. But that God reveals in Scripture that He has created them for complementary roles. Men in one role, women in another role. Men in the role of headship. And that men and women in those two roles complement one another. We believe that Scripture teaches that complementary position. But as the discussion then between egalitarians and complementarians gets narrowed to the role of women in marriage, you know, the egalitarian says, oh, you know, well, this command about women submitting to their husbands, all that is simply an illustration of the sort of submission that all Christians are to exhibit to one another, including husbands to wives. That's all it's saying. It's just saying we're all to submit to one another, and, you know, this is just an example of that. The complementarian says, no, Scripture teaches that within the husband-wife relationship, that there is a headship bestowed upon the husband by God, and that the wife is called to submit to that. But without question, this idea of wives submitting to their husbands is controversial. But I'm going to submit that without question, Scripture is clear on this issue of submission. It's clear on it. Both more broadly, yes, submission is at the heart of Christianity. And then more specifically that, yes, wives are to submit to their husbands. And let me put this command that Paul gives about wives submitting to the husbands in a broader context for a minute. And submit that more broadly, submission is at the heart of Christianity. In effect, that what Paul is commanding wives to do is a very Christian thing. Because at the heart of Christianity is submission. First of all, submission to God. Being a Christian means I yield myself to God. You know, and let me submit now, this is in part why the world has a hard time with submission in general. You know, why the whole concept of submission is resisted. Why there's so much rebellion. Why a leader in a woman's organization can make a statement like, we don't believe any human being should submit to any other human being. Because the world hates the idea of submission because the gospel preaches submission to God. And the world wants nothing to do with that. You know, submission is at the heart of the law of God. The first commandment, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall not place any loyalty, any devotion above the loyalty and devotion that is given to me. How does Jesus summarize the law? He summarizes it as submission. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. You know, your approach to God is not ramming yourself in there, asserting your way. And then Jesus said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall submit to your neighbor. You shall yield to your neighbor. Submission is at the heart of the law of God, and submission is at the heart of the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because at the heart of the gospel is the person and the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf. At the heart of the gospel is the submission of Jesus Christ, God the Son, to God the Father. Now think about it for a minute. Jesus Christ, who is one in nature, who is equal to God, Philippians 2 tells us, did not consider equality with God something that had to be grasped, something that he had to hold on to. But Jesus Christ, God the Son, voluntarily placed himself in submission to God the Father. He left heaven's courts, took to himself a human body, soul, was born in a manger. And Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father. John 6:36, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. I yield to the Father." John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food, what I live on, what I thrive on, is to do the will of him who sent me." You know, this is what Jesus is getting at when he uses language like you find in John 14, where Jesus says, "For my Father is greater than I." What's that mean? Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door and say, "See, it means Jesus is not God." Doesn't he say right here, the Father's greater than him? Not what Jesus is getting at. Jesus is not saying that he's somehow inferior to the Father or less than the Father. Jesus is equal to the Father, but he has placed himself willingly in a subordinate position to the Father. And so it says, the Father's greater than I. Jesus submitted himself to the will of the Father and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. And what did Jesus pray in the garden the night before the crucifixion? "Father, if it is your will, take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I will voluntarily, in love, yield. And Jesus dies on the cross, pays the penalty our sins deserve, and rises again on the third day. Submission is at the heart of the gospel. Our salvation is found in that submission of the Son to the Father. And then the gospel, of course, is us submitting to Jesus Christ, to yielding our life to Him. As Paul wrote in Colossians 2:6, you receive Jesus not only as Savior, but as Lord. As Lord. I will bow to Him. I will submit to Him. And brothers and sisters, as those who have been united to Christ, we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ in submitting, in voluntarily yielding to others. You know, what did Jesus say after he washed his disciples' feet? John 13, he said, "A servant is not greater than his master." You know, Jesus took the towel and basin, became a servant, washed his disciples' feet. And Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." Philippians 2 tells us that we as believers, as those united to Christ, are to have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. We are of the mind of Christ, who did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He emptied himself of self and became a servant. You know, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, we acted selfishly. We resisted the idea of submission. And you see that in the world around us, rebellion in all sorts of forms. But as one who has been made alive in Christ, I have the motivation, I have the power to yield in love to others. And yes, in my everyday relationships. Scripture says, submit to one another. 1 Peter 5:5, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another in Christ. That means in our relationships with each other. Because of who we are in Christ, because of what Christ has done, because of our union with Christ, I'm willing to yield my desire to yours. I'm willing to yield to you. I'm willing to be servant to you. I'm willing to consider the interest of others as well as my own. Because of who we are in Christ, there's the motivation, there's the power to submit to the ordained authorities that God has put in place. To submit to the governing authorities that God has ordained in government. To submit to the governing authorities that God has ordained within the church. Scripture says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch over your souls. Because of who I am in Christ, because of what Christ has done, I can yield to those who rule in the church. To be submissive to the governing authorities that God has established for the home. Husbands, fathers, parents, masters. You know, three sets of relationships listed there in Colossians. That consist, and don't misunderstand the language here, of superiors and subordinates. Husbands, wives, fathers, children, bond servants, and masters. You know, maybe if you've read through the passage, you'll note that in those verses there in Colossians 3, that the Lord is specifically identified with the one submitting. You know, wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Bond servants, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. There's no specific mention of the Lord in the commands given to husbands and fathers. You know, it's not that husbands and fathers aren't to act in the name of the Lord. All of these commands in Colossians 3 are governed by verse 17. Do all in the name of Jesus Christ. But I think that the Lord is specifically associated with those who are in the subordinate position, those who are called to submit, because those who submit are specifically identified with the Lord who voluntarily yielded Himself to the Father. Our submission in general, in effect, it reflects our union with Christ, our identity in Christ, and then those who are called in specific relationships to be in that position. God says, when you're in that position, this is a means of you identifying with Jesus Christ. Submission is at the heart of Christianity. Our submission to God, Christ's submission to the Father, our submission to Christ. And then at the heart of the Christian marriage is a wife's submission to her husband. In every place in the New Testament where commands are addressed specifically to wives, the command to submit is given. Ephesians 5:22, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. 1 Peter 3:1, wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Titus 2 says that submission to husbands is in accord with sound doctrine. Here's what I think Paul is getting at when that sort of statement is made. That yes, Scripture teaches, and in the midst of this sermon, this needs to be heard, that Scripture teaches that God created men and women with an essential equality. In the beginning, Genesis tells us, God created man, created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Equally created in the image of God. One sex is not superior in the eyes of God. Both men and women in their fallen, sinful condition are redeemed and justified equally by the work of Jesus Christ. Being a man does not give you any advantage in the area of salvation. A woman is not dependent upon any man to know the blessings of God in Christ. There is an equality in essence, but at the same time, Scripture teaches that God has given men and women differing roles. That God has given the role of headship authority in the home and the church to the man. God created the man. He created Adam first. And gave him the rights and the responsibilities of authority. And God created the woman, created Eve, out of the man for the man, not to be his servant, but to be his helper. And God then calls wives to submit to their husbands. Submission is a thoroughly Christian concept. Third point, last point. A wife's calling is to submit to her husband. To voluntarily yield to their husbands in love. Again, just so we're understanding things correctly, the call, the command to submission does not turn the wife into a slave. It doesn't entitle a husband to perceive his wife to be a slave. It doesn't silence the woman's opinion. you know, the portress of the virtuous wife, the wife of noble character, in Proverbs 31, dismisses that notion. The woman there considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She opens her arms to the poor. She extends her hands to the needy. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. Godly husbands should expect to get their wives' opinion. They should want their wives' counsel. The call for wives to submit does not give any place for some sort of overbearing male dominance. You know, it's not a call for husbands to force their wives to submit. I can remember my dad saying to me as a young man, and I think wisely, I can remember my dad saying, telling me that if I ever got married, it was not my place to worry about verse 18. Because it wasn't addressed to me. There was enough in the passage for me to concern myself with. Verse 19. I'm to be about the business of loving my wife, not being bitter or harsh with her. You know, submission obviously doesn't mean that a wife follows her husband into sin. Submission doesn't mean that she can't confront her husband's sin, to stand up for what is true. The call to submission is not turning a wife into a slave. It's not a silencing of her opinion. It is a call, as I have said, to voluntarily yield to your husband in love. It's to acknowledge him as head of the household. As Paul would say in Ephesians 5, as Christ is head of the church. It's to respect his leadership. To affirm it. To yield your desires to his. To teach your children that. You know, to think about how you speak and treat your husband. Do you encourage him in the leadership role? Do you encourage him to take it? Or do you just complain about how he doesn't? You know, we live in a fallen world. Your husband's a fallen sinner. Do you wait patiently for your husband to make decisions, or do you demand that it be done? You know, well, I've got to do it. I've got to make some decisions here, or it won't be done. And maybe that can be the case at times. There are maybe times when a woman needs to approach the elders of the church concerning her husband. But is your life in the home characterized by a disposition to yield to your husband's guidance and direction? Submission means not competing for authority. You know, because of our sin, our tendency when we're under any sort of authority is to try to minimize it, to escape the authority. There's always the temptation to compete or to seek to usurp the role. In effect, to say, I'm counting to 10 and then it's my turn. You know, within the home, if there are areas of disagreement, someone makes a final decision. Either the husband makes it or the wife makes it. Who makes those decisions in your home? And again, wives, the temptation can be to want to seize the leadership role, either outright, you know, sort of a bullying your husband, a dominating your husband, or to do it more subtly. I'll let my husband make the decisions, but then I'm going to make life so miserable for him. If it's not the decision that I want, that he'll give in. Because we all know that if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. There can be a temptation to play that card. The call to submission is a call to voluntarily yield in love. And ladies, the call to submission is a means by which God makes you more like Jesus Christ. Submitting in your husband, to your husband, is fitting in the Lord. I think that means two things. One, it means that submission to your husband is a means. It's a means for those of you ladies who have been raised up by Christ to honor Christ. And submission to your husband means for those of you who have been raised up by Christ to become more Christ-like. You know, there's this story about the young Christian woman who began dating. She's courting a nice young Christian man. And she's considering marrying this young man. But this young woman also spent much of her time caring for her elderly aunt. And if she married this young man, someone else would have to care for her aunt. And she was torn between what to do. And she asked her pastor, what should I do, pastor? And her pastor said, if you want to serve Christ better, don't marry and continue to care for your aunt. If you want to be more like Christ, get married. And here's what he meant by that statement. And this is something that everyone needs to understand about marriage. Young people, you're thinking about marriage someday. You have to understand this, and it's something that the world will not tell you. Now, maybe I can even say here, this is a million-dollar moment coming. Marriage is designed by God to change you. It is designed by God to change you. In a fallen world, you should expect marriage to change you. It is designed by God to make you more like Christ. If you want to be more Christ-like, get married. And people don't get that about marriage. You know, maybe our culture understood it at one time, but they don't anymore. You know, the idea that marriage is designed to change you, that never comes up in movies. Never comes up in the fairy tale. You know, the movies, the fairy tales, oh, we're two happy people in love, and we're going to go live happily ever after. And so that becomes our culture's expectations with regard to marriage. The world never says this, and too many Christians don't think this. They never think we're two happy people in love, and this lifelong relationship is going to constantly expose the sin in my own heart. And this lifelong relationship is going to be used by God to make me start thinking less of myself and more of others. That God will use this to make me more humble, more patient, more sacrificial than I was before. And that that's going to present some difficulty for me at times. Because my sinful nature doesn't want to become more self-sacrificial, more humble, more patient, more loving. You know, Let me give an example of what I'm talking about. You know, college kids coming home for Christmas here this week and so forth. I can remember my freshman year at Geneva College. You know, take yesterday, a Saturday, yesterday, my freshman year at Geneva. This time of year, January, February. Here's my Saturdays when I'm at Geneva. I sleep until noon. I get up for lunch and come back to the dorm and lie around watching college basketball on TV for 3 or 4 hours. Then maybe about 3:34, I get up and go play basketball for an hour. Grab some supper. And then if Geneva's got a game, I go down to the game, you know, afterwards, get together with a friend and kill off a pizza. I'm not just talking about an occasional Saturday. I'm talking about pretty much every Saturday. You know, you might say, what a life! Now that's what I'm talking about. Now I'm married. My Saturdays look nothing like they did 25 years ago. I don't sleep till noon. I watched more basketball in 2 Saturdays my freshman year in Geneva than I have in the past 2 years. You know, Saturdays is about doing chores. It's running kids to 8 different activities. It's trying to keep up with things around the house. And again, the natural tendency. What the flesh wants to say is, oh man, dude, that's bummer. That's bad. You know, the world says, you had it so good back then. You remember those Saturdays, Jim? Don't you feel just a little resentful about the Saturdays you have now? Why can't life like be like that now? That's what the world says. That's what our flesh says. But what does God say? God says the change is good. What you have now is better than what you had then. Because let me tell you this about those college Saturdays. I didn't learn anything about patience on those Saturdays. I didn't learn anything about sacrifice. I didn't learn anything about love. They were rather self-absorbed, self-centered. You know, it's not that those Saturdays were sinful. You know, it's not that I had to do something else. But let me say this, is that marriage has placed me in a position that I get things that I might not have got otherwise. Because being a husband and a father requires me. It requires me to think about the interest of others as well as my own. It requires me to make sacrifices. It requires me on a Saturday to die a little more to self and to love others. And I am forced to become more like Christ. And my Saturday yesterday, I'm going to submit, was more glorious than lying around a dorm lounge all day doing nothing. And it should force me to look ahead when I'll be completely conformed to Christ without the sinful nature fighting in me. And my Saturdays now are more significant, more meaningful, of greater value And no, I would not go back. My flesh might think that at times, but no, I would not go back when I'm thinking clearly. And part of the reason that people have problems in their marriage is that they have put themselves in a place that is designed to change them for the better, to be more like Christ, and then they resist the change. I don't want to die to self. I don't want to become more patient. I don't want to learn to love, and you're forcing me to, and I don't like it. It's designed to change you for the better. My spouse is making me be more patient, to overlook sins, to love fervently, to die to self, and that's a good thing. And now to the ladies specifically. The command to submit to your husband is part of God's design to change you, to make you more Christ-like. Because Jesus Christ, who was equal with God the Father, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but humbled himself. And ladies, you have, who have been raised with Christ as part of God's order for marriage, are called, you know, equal in essence with your husband, are called to voluntarily yield to him in love. You are called to die to yourself. You are called to let go of control. You are called to conform your will to your husband's will, even as you seek to conform your will to Christ. The command to submit to your husband will have you addressing things in your life that perhaps you never would have touched if you weren't married. It's a means of making you more Christ-like. And ladies, it is a means of turning you into the helper that God designed you to be. Submitting to your husband is to be more than mere compliance. Submitting to, yielding to your husband is a means of bringing oneness to your marriage. Again, submission doesn't mean not voicing an opinion. It doesn't mean not giving counsel. But when there is disagreement, it's a means of bringing unity and harmony to the relationship. You know, submission is not just to be a matter of action. In fact, all of you married ladies here have already taken an action. You took your husband's last name when you got married. There's a significance to that. That act says, I will voluntarily yield to him. I'll take his last name. That's why the world doesn't want any women taking their husband's last name. It's to be more than submission of action. It's to be submission in the heart. Your husband's made a decision. It's not about just yielding in action. It's about yielding in the heart. Okay, then I will work to make the decision right. I will not make life so miserable my husband will regret the day he did that. I will work to make the decision right. And let me suggest here at the close that submission is more, in effect, than just yielding to your husband. In effect, that's the minimum. Submission is pouring your life into your husband. Submission is looking at your husband, the man sitting next to you in the pew, and saying and knowing that it was that God, in effect, did not think it was good for him to be alone. God did not think it was good for him to be alone, and he provided me as the helper. And so it's understanding your husband. It's analyzing your husband. It's knowing his gifts and strengths and weaknesses, and then putting all that you have into being the right helper for him. In effect, working to make him a better man, a better father, a better worker than he would be without you. And again, husband, that's going to be a little painful at times. But that's what a good helper does. It's encouraging him. It's if you have to confront him, confronting him in a gracious and submissive manner. It's giving counsel. You know, even the world has the cliche that behind every good man is a good woman. They see that. Are you that good woman in the life of your husband? Girls, you're not married yet. You think about marriage. The question, a question, not the question, a question you have to ask is, can I submit to this man? Can I submit to this man? Can I consistently, voluntarily yield to him in love? And if in your heart you would say, I can't do that. Maybe in general, or I can't do it with this man. He's not the man to marry. And in fact, can I take this man's last name? To ask yourself, knowing that a relationship with this man will change me. Well, marriage to this man changed me for the better. Which means that man obviously has to be a believer. He has to be wise. He has to be worthy of respect. He has to be one who will love you and not be bitter with you. Wives, submit to your husbands. Submission is at the heart of Christianity. It's at the heart of the marriage relationship. Wives, submit to your husbands. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And for wives, being raised with Christ means submitting to your husband. May God give grace. Let's pray. Our Father, that You would help us in our marriages. Help us to love. Help us to honor, to respect all those things that were affirmed in wedding vows. Father, give Christian women the grace to submit to husbands. Husbands, the grace to be godly leaders in their home. Father, that we might live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That our marriages would reflect that glorious, beautiful relationship between Christ and the church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's again sing.